This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
This is Kyle Juszczyk from the San Francisco 49ers, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Thursday, May 12th. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway. Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Back again. Dynasty Week continues. Going to be talking some rookie sleepers, some trades, some Dynasty trade talk. Some news. A little bit news.
We got a little bit?
Yeah, just a little bit. The judge is here. How you doing there, Brooksy?
Excellent.
Still incredibly wealthy?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Convincing. Excited to be with you all. We appreciate you tuning into the show. Twitter at the FF Ballers. The community is over there at jointhefoot.com. At the top here, I want to say thank you to so many awesome human beings who have purchased tickets to our recently announced live shows in Detroit, Los Angeles, and Phoenix. They are approaching selloutville.
Selling like hotcakes.
Hotcakes must sell very well.
They are very popular when you sell them openly. They don't do that a lot. That's why they sell so quickly.
They're far more popular than cold cakes.
True.
I do love a cold cake.
Cold cake's great, though.
I imagine that when you say hotcake, you're referring to a flapjack or a pancake.
Yeah, a pancake, right? Yeah.
I don't want to get lost on the idiom origin here, but...
Well, this is the best place to be.
But, I mean, somebody at some point sold hotcakes in an open market, and they just sold quickly.
Might have been like a stand, like a lemonade stand.
Yeah, if you're out there, and there's like, out on the block, you know, like selling
hot
dogs.
Out on the block.
Just like, you got the hot dogs out there and everything. If you had fresh pancakes, you're telling me... You wouldn't hit that thing up on your way to work?
I mean, I don't know. When you cook up a hot cake, it can't really sit in the open air that long. I mean, these got to be right off the griddle.
That's why, in Arizona, though.
That's why they sell like hotcakes.
But the real news here is that for everyone who has not yet got tickets, if you're wanting to come see us in Detroit, in L.A., in Phoenix, you're going to need to do it now.
Yeah.
You're going to need to go buy those tickets now at ballerslive.com.
Yep.
If you don't remember... then we'll miss you.
Yeah, no, it'll be a lot of fun to get back out on the road and to, you know, live events have such a good energy and we get to meet so many incredible human beings.
You might witness me blow out an ACL as I jump off a stage. That's like the betting odds on that are pretty high.
How many stage jumps have you done?
I think two.
And at least one of them you went down like a sack of potatoes.
Yes, I did. There is...
How many post-40-year-old birthday...
This will be my first one.
Okay.
So I expect the knee to literally explode like a bomb.
Now, what if...
Please catch him, everybody.
Say, what if you just do a stage dive?
There we go. Catch me, people.
Now,
it would be awesome.
If you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballers.
Oh, we're going to address it?
You will notice that Jason doesn't look quite normal. He looks kind of like a man who went to a tanning booth and wore a headband.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. We were outside. We've been outside quite a bit lately, yeah, playing some pickleball in the Arizona sun. And I have worn...
It's warm out there.
A headband. I don't know what these are called. They're not full head... A headband?
You'd call
okay,
it a headband.
That's fine.
An athletic headband.
And if you want to see where I wear it, you just go to YouTube and you can see exactly where that thing rests on my head. It is the stupidest...
It is a stark line. I mean, just
It looks so... I call this my thinking cap for today's episode. I've put my thinking cap on, and it's
Well, just
much...
grow your hair out over it.
Right.
Oh,
I'm working on that.
All right. One quick reminder.
It's
ultimate,
a good look.
UltimateDraftKit.com. The UDK comes out in less than a month, so you can pre-order it the lowest possible price right now, UltimateDraftKit.com. Our quick question for the day, it's about rookie sleepers. So we just did a rookie mock draft, two-round rookie mock draft, and as a follow-up, the quick question is this. Who's your favorite player going in the third round or later of rookie drafts that is, I mean, this is sleeper category here. You're taking a third-round shot on somebody. Who are you taking a shot on?
Go ahead, Jay.
So I had this in here from earlier this week. Tyquan Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
He's my favorite, and I've seen him in every single third round that we have been a part of in real drafts. He is not usually drafted in the top 24. Now, in last episode, he was drafted in the top 24. I think that if you're in a third round, he's usually there.
The wide receiver for the Patriots.
Yeah, wide receiver for the Patriots, the fastest wide receiver out of this year's combine. He is a pencil of a man, and he was overdrafted in the NFL draft, but the capital, his speed, he had decent production. I think he's a good player. I'll throw out Damian Pierce as well, because he is a running back that, even though he was not a day two pick, which usually that means it's not going to come
Texans.
Through. He's from the Houston. Well, I was going to get there. He's from the Houston Texans. And
your thinking cap is doing great.
Yeah, it's a little tight. But, you know, he doesn't have a lot to, you know, have to overcome in front of him with Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead.
Now, what you could have done, Jason, if you didn't want to have the embarrassment of your tan line on the show, is you could have just worn a headband. Could have been part of
Ooh.
Your, could have just been your look. We never would have noticed.
Yeah, my headband gets pretty sweaty.
Even during the show?
Oh, I mean, I sweat a lot during the show.
Okay.
Hard work.
I'll throw out a couple of third-round running back options, because taking a shot at a running back in the third round, it gives you the opportunity to find a difficult-to-find position. So Pierre Strong Jr. in New England or Terrion Davis-Price in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, both of them are a shot at a committee, and then hoping that you get probably a combination of good fortune and good skill.
Sure.
Because you probably need an injury for year one to see something out of these guys. But both of them have a chance at it. I mean, Elijah Mitchell was not a pinnacle of health last year. Trey Sermon was injured and could be lower down the depth chart. Jeff Wilson's been hurt. So you know how it is in San Francisco. Six straight years, different leading running back in the fantasy universe. And then the running back situation for New England is always changing. We didn't expect to see, I mean, Damian Harris is what, final year in New England?
Yeah, he'll be one and done there for sure.
You just need like what, two Ramondre Stevenson fumbles, and all of a sudden you could see Pierre Strong Jr. get an opportunity. So I'll throw them both out there as options.
And I'm going to throw out Hassan Haskins, running back who was drafted by the Titans, I believe in the fourth round, off the top of my head. We'll vet that. And he is now the backup for Derrick Henry. If you look at the depth chart, like, is it Dontrell Hilliard?
I think it's Hilliard for sure.
Do you?
I do.
See, I'm not so sure of, like,
I mean, he was good last year, and that's how I see the depth chart, but it's still, you know, at the same time, if Henry goes down, it was down to Foreman and Hilliard, and Foreman taking the majority of reps. So I think backup, I guess. Let me back okay. that backup talk up. Hilliard's not going to be able to step in for Henry, but Hilliard will be the complement to Henry
sure.
now. If Henry were to leave, then you have a big opportunity.
And I think that was...
What I want to bring up with Haskins, Dontrell Hilliard is going into the fifth year of his career and has a career total of 78 carries over those 4 years. Like, that doesn't usually turn into production. But they spent the day three pick, Hassan Haskins. They drafted him in front of Isaiah Spiller. And Haskins is a big enough dude. And, like, I mean, he kind of has that Derrick Henry profile where, like,
6'2", 220.
Big bruiser. Not expecting him to be a huge pass-catching running back. But Derrick Henry, you know, was coming off of multiple years of 300-plus carries. Last year in eight games had over 200 carries. Derrick Henry is, you know, 28. He'll be turning 29 in about 6 months. Like, the clock, the bio clock is ticking on Derrick Henry. He's coming off of that broken foot situation that he had, and they need somebody. So I think that Hassan Haskins, especially if Derrick Henry's on your team, mm-hmm. like Jason and I have, Henry is, he's our RB1 for our Dino Junior team. And with the last pick of the third round, we were able to get Hassan Haskins, who I, like, maybe it's Hilliard, but I feel pretty strongly that if Henry misses time, Haskins would be the one to go into that role and get 15-plus carries a game.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. Deontay Foreman last year with Hilliard sure. there was on a 250 for 1,005 pace with the injured Derrick Henry. So I think starting the season, if Henry's there, Hilliard will get snaps
as the compliment.
Alongside as the compliment. But if he goes down, you're going to need a bigger body than Dontrell Hilliard.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember us going through this whole song and dance in the waiver wire with,
yes,
with that backfield.
With the newly signed Adrian Peterson.
Never bet
and
on.
Then it was Deontay Foreman.
Has Adrian Peterson stayed around so long that it's going to be hard to remember
the
legacy?
We will remember it because once a player is
fully gone,
once they're completely gone for a handful of years, then your brain just kind of it'll be a trivia question of remember when Adrian Peterson was on the Tennessee Titans? You'll go, oh yeah, I remember that.
I'll say no.
In Seattle,
yes,
in Arizona, and Washington,
yeah. No, you'll forget all that. No,
Jerry Rice was a 49er.
Right.
You know, he played
on
other places. He was
definitely not a Raider.
Right.
Right. Even though, he had over 1,000 yards with the Raiders?
Freaking Jerry Rice.
All right, let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, there were rumors that the Saints were looking at Mike Davis, but Mike Davis is just in too high demand.
Yeah.
So the Ravens signed him.
Baltimore
Mike Davis
liked what they saw last year.
You know it. Whoever is watching, what if they had, you know how you have to like license NFL film? What if they just didn't get the last few years? So everything is, you know.
It's cheaper. You don't pay for the new year.
Because, I mean, what, Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman?
Oh, yeah.
And now Mike Davis. I mean, if it wasn't Baltimore, I wouldn't even care about this signing. Now I'm wondering if Mike Davis gets work.
Well, this is – so the signing bonus was the veteran minimum, like $125,000 or something. This is going to be a necessary piece for Baltimore if J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards aren't healthy. So they went out, they signed him. It makes sense from a pragmatic standpoint. You need someone in there. I do think we'll have clarity before most NFL, you know, when we get to the fantasy draft season, we're going to know if Dobbins and Gus are just healthy. They've been practicing. They're a part of this, in which case I see Mike Davis as irrelevant, and he's no guarantee to even make the roster, but he's there now, and he's going to be a great indicator of the health of the other two guys.
Other three guys.
Sure.
Justice Hill tore his ACL as well. Sony Michel signed by the Dolphins.
What?
1 year, $1.75 million. They now have Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, Sony Michel, Miles Gaskin, and Salvin Ahmed.
That sucks.
So Gaskin might be just done.
I mean,
gone.
Ahmed and the Gas Man could be off this roster. It's clear the Dolphins have had enough of the shenanigans of the Gas Man, and they're moving on. The big question here is, who is like the main guy? I think it's still Chase Edmonds. And Sony with a 1 year, you know, under $2 million deal, likely just a depth piece. But if we're all the people who were, you know, hitting the streets, hitting the Twitter, taking the victory lap of, yes, Chase Edmonds, because he got his contract right away from the Dolphins. And people were very excited that the 49er system was going over there and Edmonds looked like the main guy. He's got company now.
I would say this. I've been a little bit excited for Mostert reuniting with Mike Daniel, running that Shanahan offense. He's perfect for it. But he is coming off of a surgery, and he is not fully healthy. This signing makes me question the recovery of Raheem Mostert and whether or not, you know, is this kind of more insurance for the Mostert recovery or...
Well, all signs, I mean, I want to defend Mostert here. I mean, all indications are that he's good to go. I think it's just trying to get rid of the gas man.
Yes.
The gas man has been dead to me before this.
He's empty.
Yeah.
So, I, you know,
world's going electric.
The Edmonds situation is not easy because he's not a prototypical three-down running back.
Right.
And so, you know, if you want to look at Edmonds and Mostert and Sony and say, well, Mostert and Sony are going to be some James Conner combination, and then Edmonds will play that complementary role. Like, Edmonds will accumulate fantasy points in the most kind of annoying way possible. Like, this committee backfield is not one that is fun to stat out. I mean, we're in the throngs of statting every team out for the ultimate draft kit. I didn't have a good time here, just like we don't have a good time figuring out San Francisco every year.
Right.
So, you know, Mike McDaniel will have weapons to use.
Certainly.
The full schedule for the NFL is getting released today.
Yeah, that's fun.
Do you look forward to that?
I do.
I think it's overhyped.
It is.
Everything is definitely overhyped.
I've been told to like it, and I don't think it's that special.
I like it because since part of our job entails trying to watch as much football as possible, it becomes extremely difficult to physically get to a Cardinal game on Sundays. It's like I would prefer to sit and watch every single game on the TVs we got. So I look for our primetime games because that's mark it down. That's the one week I can actually go to a game and not miss anything.
Yeah, give you a spoiler alert for the schedule release?
Sure.
You won't like the time the international games are played.
Oh, I am aware.
I do feel like they build it up as if we don't know who team who
you
you're playing.
When,
you don't know
though.
When.
Yeah.
But we already know who everybody's playing.
Yes.
But in what order?
But when?
Yeah, see what
Jason?
I mean?
Sure. Do you know?
I will tonight.
Yeah, that's right. And okay. You'll be excited, and you'll take a screenshot of it, and you'll start marking wins and losses.
That's probably true.
Well, before we introduce a new segment here, you know, this is news for our kind of show.
Yes.
There's a pretty important Sam Howell-related update.
It's awful.
You probably saw it.
The Commander's rookie quarterback. Now, Sam Howell says he only eats chicken, Jason. But listen, he's never...
chicken. It's delicious.
You might say, hey, is he allergic to
like
red meat? I mean, I'm sure that's a thing, right? No, he's never tried a burger or a steak, won't eat seafood, orders chicken tenders at steakhouses, brings his own tenders to team dinners. If these reports are true, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Mike, when you say you like chicken, now, right. Are you really thinking I like chicken fingers, chicken they're not bad.
No, I love McNuggets. I love chicken tenders. They're very delicious, but that's not what I think of when I say chicken.
Oh, man. Here's the thing. I thought I liked Sam Howell's film, his production, his age. I liked that he was mobile, still had a strong arm. He's completely – I missed the boat big time. I was wrong about all of it.
Likable, Carson Wentz in that locker room or Sam Howell?
Oh, my goodness.
Look, I bet you Carson Wentz eats some red meat.
I know if I'm going to go have a steak with one of them, it's going to be Carson Wentz.
Wow.
What if I say this? You go out to a steak dinner with Sam. Hmm. You order two steaks. You now have two steaks.
That's
you're saying because he won't eat it.
Right.
I would say the only way that I would choose Sam Howell is if I'm buying. If I'm paying for the meal, then I'll bring Sam Howell.
Because chicken's cheap.
Chicken tenders, what is that?
Well,
the
he brings
menu?
Them.
That is probably kids' menu.
Yeah.
Which he probably, I mean, to be fair, he's a kid.
Yes. And so, I don't blame him with the seafood. Like, lobsters and crabs are really just gigantic insects that are in the sea.
No, they're delicious, though.
But they look like giant bugs. I mean, we can all agree on this, right? They are really weird creatures.
They are the bugs of the sea.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
But the sea is prettier.
Is
so
it?
They're kind of cooler.
Well, I mean, they're temperature-wise, yes.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la.
Under the sea, man.
Yeah, I mean,
everything's better down where it's wetter.
Is that that's the last big piece of news we need to talk about, Brooks?
Yes, sir.
Off season going well. All right, let's take a quick break.
Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh, but you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet?
Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
I mean, do you have some sort of food take that's a Sam Howell-esque that you're afraid to admit?
I mean, I'm not afraid to admit, but I have been on record many times saying, like, I will take a good cheeseburger over a good steak.
You have said that.
Yeah, I don't have it, but Al Borland's not here, can't defend himself, so I will happily throw him under
the bus. Nice. Get him.
He will not eat seafood just like Sam Howell, but to the point where, like, he has never, ever, ever tried a bite of and he tells people he's allergic. He's not allergic. He just goes to restaurants and says,
and he's a filthy liar.
Yeah, I can't have shellfish. I'm allergic. It's like, no, you're not. You're really not.
Now, he says that whether or not they serve seafood.
Just well, I would imagine it's only if they serve seafood. But in his defense, maybe he is. Maybe he's allergic.
He doesn't even know.
He has no idea.
Okay. All right. Let's introduce a new segment.
Where's the line?
All right, we are asked very often about trades, specifically in dynasty leagues, about acquiring players in exchange for draft picks. In fact, on the Tuesday show, one of the things I talked about as a tip for new dynasty players is that there are going to be a handful of managers in your league that overvalue or undervalue draft picks. And so it is an important component in trading, and it's kind of difficult, I think, to ascertain. Nobody wants to get taken for a ride. And a lot of the times in a dynasty league, especially if you're new, you might just avoid making trades, which is not the worst advice.
I saw that. I think someone posted on our last YouTube channel, and I thought that was actually good advice. If you're brand new to dynasty, maybe avoid making trades your first little while, just to, because what happens at the beginning of a startup dynasty lasts for a decade. So you make some mistakes, it's a little bit more egregious, but we're here to help you out with knowing where the line is on certain players.
So Brooks put this segment together and just plain didn't tell us very much. So he's going to be introducing this segment. And so I'm going to throw it to you, Brooksy, because you're going to basically put out some hypothetical trade scenarios.
Yes.
And we don't even know which of us is trading with who.
I don't even know as of right now.
You don't even know?
Nope.
What?
It's all going to be randomly determined on the spot.
And well, great.
So I will randomly determine which two of you are participating in the trade and then reveal the player involved.
Okay. And
so, for example, Jason is trading with Mike to acquire Jamar Chase. Just an example, because good luck with that.
Okay. Is that the first? That's just an example, or
just,
that's the first
just saying
one?
An example.
Okay. Oh. Good.
Yeah.
Because the answer is I won't be able to get him.
Exactly. So, and we figure, like, I'll give you guys the situation of your teams, just if you're competing or rebuilding, and you guys can kind of go back and forth until we determine where's the line.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. Our first one is Mike trading with Andy.
Okay.
And you are trying to acquire Cam Akers, running back for the Rams. He's about 23 years old.
First off, I'm now going to present all my trades
with
the drum roll. And so I'm going to say, hey, Andy, I want to make a trade. He'll say, oh, what's going on? I'm just going to send you a waveform.
Okay.
So you can play it. All right. So I am trying to get Cam Akers.
Yes, sir.
Cam Akers is a very difficult dynasty decision. Did a dynasty startup draft a couple nights ago. I didn't want to take him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I need another 8 games of post-Achilles Cam Akers to really understand what he's going to be. But, Mike, you're trying to get him. I mean, you're interested.
All right. So
make me an offer.
Let's lay this out. So Cam Akers, about to be 23 years old. He's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. So long-term, like, he needs to start making an impact. We have seen at least once he made it back, which was a miraculous recovery from the Achilles tear, at least, like, you know, metrics, yards per carry wise, it was pretty gross in the postseason there for Cam Akers. Still got a bunch of work. And it seems like Coach McVay is willing to have Cam Akers be the focal point of the offense. I don't mind going out there and trying to get Cam Akers on your team, but he is not a player that I would spend up for. So I would start my initial offer here, knowing that in this draft class, if I don't have a top 3, maybe top 4 pick, I'm not getting Breece and I'm not getting Kenneth Walker. So I'm not getting the running back support that my team might need. So I'm going to start this off here with, I would for Cam Akers, Andy, I would start with a second round for this year and a second rounder next year. I was going to say third, but I know that won't get done. So if I'm actually trying to get this done, 2 twos, one right now and one for the future.
Now, am I supposed to, Brooksy, am I supposed to believe that his team is middle of the pack?
Do you want me to give an actual number? Okay.
Yeah, if you're doing this year's picks.
Okay, I will give you the 205 this year and my future second.
Interesting.
No.
I thought he was going to say yes.
No, I won't.
Sir.
No.
That was a fair offer.
I'm supposed to counter.
Okay.
I'm supposed to counter. So you've got the 205. I assume you got the 105, right?
Yeah. And you can't have the 105. That's off the table.
In this hypothetical, I know it's, you can counter with any picks.
All right.
I would. The potential of Cam Akers being the starter at running back at a young age in a dynasty league on a great team. I'm not willing to give up Cam Akers for 2 second rounders. If I wanted to move on from him, I think I'd probably try to push you for next year's first. I think that's the direction I would go. It's a distance away. Maybe I could throw a 3 back your way.
You know what? If I could get, I would trade a future first for Cam Akers. We've talked, we could have had it as one of the dynasty tips, is when you're thinking about a draft pick and what is the value of a player, what is the value inside the market that we create for these dynasty players? Because that's really what is incredibly important in dynasty, is what is the actual market value of this player? And that's set by the ecosystem of us, of dynasty players, getting information from like this podcast that can be influential in those types of things. And that's what matters. And getting a rookie now in this year's first round, that player more than likely won't lose value heading into next year as we get a chance to evaluate, even if they don't have a great first year. And but on top of that, their value doesn't go down. And I get the advantage of I have them now. I get to make that evaluation right now, where this is just a future hypothetical pick for a player we have no idea who it's going to be. So for Cam Akers, I would absolutely be willing to trade a future first rounder for him. If I get a third back, that's even better. I would be willing to do. I wouldn't tell my trade partner this. So Andy, cover your earmuffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Jason, I would do that deal without getting the third rounder back.
Yeah. So that's our agreed compensation then. Yeah. And the truth is, I'm not looking at my third with very much value. That's something to push something over the edge. If I didn't want to be in on the risk, because here's the thing. Cam Akers today, it's open sky.
Yes.
So if I'm very concerned about what I saw last year and I don't want to be in on the risk, then what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to flip Cam Akers for the potential of next year's Kenneth Walker or next year's running back opportunity in the same boat.
Next year is a really good draft class. There's going to be people that would make this trade. A 2023 first for Cam Akers could make sense for both teams.
All right.
And like, I would just throw in where another thing that's was a little bit worrisome for me today, you know, we're statting for the draft kit, and was looking at the Houston Texans of like, what do you do with that backfield of Jason? You mentioned Damian Pierce, because in front of him, Rex Burkhead, who was abysmal except for one game against the Chargers. And if you recall, everybody had a good game against the Chargers if you were a running back. And Marlon Mack, those are the two main guys in front of him. And Marlon Mack last year, aside from one 20-yard carry, was terrible. And like behind an offensive line, it wasn't what it was 2 years ago for the Colts, but it was still a very strong offensive line. And you have games where like he could barely crack 2 yards a carry. Like Marlon Mack is further along in his recovery from his Achilles tear than Cam Akers is. And Marlon Mack is still a shell of what he once was.
I think that there's a half decent chance we have Cam Akers and Marlon Mack as the starting running backs on their respective teams this year, with a shot to show people that they can get through this. And then Deonta Foreman's playing football still. So
we're going to learn a lot about Achilles because of those two players this year. Because if they both come out and suck, then we're right back to like Achilles means you're dead to me for running.
At least means more time than what?
Right.
The timeline they pushed. All right, Brooksy.
Guys ready for another one?
Let's do it.
All right.
Where's the line?
Jason is trading with Mike.
Ooh.
Trying to acquire... Ooh, David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
He's almost 25, and let's say Jason is competing, and Mike's a little more on the rebuild side.
Okay, all right. Well, I actually do like David Montgomery's outlook. He's 25 years old. Now, he doesn't have a future contract yet. I think he'll get it. I really do. I think he's a good piece, and they don't have many of them. They have tons of money next year and none right now. So I think he plays well this year, is an important asset for fantasy, and then I believe he'll get re-signed. So this is a player I would genuinely try to poke around for. So I'm glad I'm the one trading for him.
Do you want to know where he went in a dynasty startup last night?
I'm sure it was too late.
Fifth round.
Yes.
54 overall.
That's great. I mean, I would take him there personally. All right, so if I'm trying to trade for him, I'm not coming in too hot. He's on a crappy Bears team. He doesn't have a future contract. He's a running back that could be near the end of his leash. If I'm thinking about what I would give up in this year's draft, just like what player would I be willing to give up, I think that there's a spot where I would be willing to trade even a first rounder in this year's draft. I would rather have him than, say, a James Cook, who is my 10th pick.
That's, sure. Yeah, for sure.
So I would offer the 110 for David Montgomery.
Okay. And
let's make a deal. Let's make it quick. Next one. Say yes, Brooks. Who's next?
So if I'm a rebuilding team, I would take that from David Montgomery. My outlook for him is I think Montgomery is a solid running back, but I'm more concerned than what Jason just outlaid here. Like, Andy, what is your outlook for Justin Fields and the offense of the Chicago Bears this year?
Abysmal.
And David Montgomery, as good as he is, I don't know that he can overcome those odds. And Chicago, with the complete regime change that has happened here, they've already shown we're tearing this thing down, and it'll be reborn like the Phoenix, but we don't know when it will actually rise from the ashes. And part of that is you not giving a running back, giving out a second contract to a running back, giving a bunch of money to that guy. And so I don't think that the contract will come from the Chicago Bears.
If he moves on, he's moving on at a very young age with a lot of production.
Yes, with a lot of production. But you're bringing in that variable of that situation of where is David Montgomery going to go? And this happens all the time of like, man, Tevin Coleman on the Atlanta Falcons, I cannot wait until he hits
Jerick
free agency.
McKinnon on the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, and they're unleashed on their new team, and they're just never unleashed. Like,
So is that an acceptance?
That sounds like an acceptance.
I said I accept it. I just wanted to lay out where I am on Montgomery, that I have my concerns with. I think he'll be okay-ish this year, but I'm saying, like, for the future, it's so murky that I would bet on the side of probability that things could end up getting worse. Like, the Chicago Bears next year, I really think, are perfectly fine, or in a situation where they will end up being fine, just moving forward with, like, Khalil Herbert as their guy, as they're trying to figure things out. And so I would definitely trade David Montgomery for the 110.
I was curious, Andy, you said he went 54th in your startup draft.
52nd.
I want to see where I have him. I have him as my 33rd overall player.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year's going to be very productive for David Montgomery. Like, 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, fringe RB1.
It's funny. That's exactly what his pace was last year in his non-injured games. It was 1,100 yards, 9 touchdowns, another 400 through the air.
And I think he'll do that. I think you will do that, and you'll do it like James Robinson did it, and you'll do it like Najee Harris did it in a lot of ways, which is being on the field for every play. And we saw at the end of the year, even after Herbert exploded, it was like, you don't exist. So
different coaching staff, though.
Yeah, but the coaching staff's going to like 1,109.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I was kind of begging the question of, like, what's one great running back year worth for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
You said if you're a rebuilding team. So if I threw the different cap on you and you are in contention, you're probably turning down 110.
I'm probably turning it down because even teams that are in contention, it's pretty rare that you have three rock solid running backs. Like, look around your dynasty team. Everybody needs help at the running back position. If you have two locked in starters, you should be feeling very good about your situation.
Which that in and of itself is a tip, right? Like, go look at your rebuilding teams in your league and see if they've got a running back like an Aaron Jones or a David Montgomery. Those type of guys aren't their future.
Right.
But if you need a running back, if they're on rebuilding teams, go offer a first for them and win.
All right, let's do one more, Brooks, before we do some Dynasty mailbag.
All right, so for the last one, Mike is...
Oh, I'm in all of them?
You are trading with Andy for this one.
Oh. Okay, another little rematch after I took you for a ride.
we made a good deal.
Yeah.
And you are trying to acquire Debo Samuel, 26 years old.
Oh, man.
Both of you made the playoffs last year. You're competing.
All right. So this is tough because Andy is going to know, of course, if I have a dynasty team, that means that Trey Lance is on that dynasty team.
That's right.
And I will be – he knows that I'm looking for the stack. So that is – all right. So Debo Samuel, where are we at with the fantasy footballers? How do we feel about the situation of Debo Samuel? Is the contract coming shortly? Is he going to be playing this year on his rookie deal?
I think he will be playing for the 49ers with a new contract once they get Jimmy G out of the way.
Now, Odell Beckham did say that, wasn't he saying he looked like he was going to get traded?
To the Patriots.
Yes.
Odell was drunk. No, I mean, it makes sense to be able to pay him when you have Trey Lance on a rookie deal. So I do think he goes back to San Francisco, but his dynasty outlook is very intriguing. It's very interesting. Sure. Because I'm looking at the transition to Trey Lance, if it happens, which it looks like it's going to happen, as a situation that you could be moving towards a smaller pie, a smaller passing pie in San Francisco, a Lamar Jackson-esque situation. Look, if you run the football for 700, 800 yards, I don't think you're throwing for 4,400. I don't think Trey Lance in his rookie season is throwing for 4,400 yards like Jimmy G did last year.
Right.
So this might be cash-in time for Deebo Samuel. Young, number two fantasy wide receiver last year. But you're trying to get him from me, so.
Yes. So looking
at, you see something a little bit different.
So right now I have Deebo as my number six overall fantasy wide receiver. So I do covet him for my team. I think that they're at the age of 26. You know, we still have several years of potential for Deebo Samuel. The injury concerns should be pretty real with him, where this was kind of the first time we've ever seen a complete season here from Deebo Samuel. But I would rather have him than, you know, Garrett Wilson. I Drake London, it's tougher. But if I'm competing, I want him more than any of these guys. So
certainly.
So I would start at the 102, and I would add in, for Deebo Samuel, I think we're talking about the 102 this year and a first next year would be my starting offer.
He's coming in strong.
To get Deebo, you gotta swing a
big
hammer.
You ain't messing
around.
Yeah. This is a nice thing that Mike does. When Mike comes with a trade, he's not trying to lowball. He's trying to get the deal done.
This one, it's a really interesting offer. Thank you, Mike, for that offer.
You're welcome.
Because I don't think there's a consensus, strong conviction at 102 for this year. I think that there are. I mean, we literally just had a conversation about Chris Olave in the office saying, mm-hmm. "Why is he the seven every time? Why can't he be the two? Like, Chris Olave could absolutely be worthy of the 102.
He's phenomenal.
He could.
So then you have Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, Chris Olave. So if I don't have a strong conviction, it's really hard to take the known commodity of Deebo Samuel and translate it into one of those, but then I get next year's first.
Yeah.
And because of my lack of confidence in the passing game with Trey Lance, and because I do believe they're moving to him, and because I think Deebo ran the ball a lot more than they meant to have him run the ball last year, I'm going to accept your offer.
Oh, hot dog.
If I could trade Deebo Samuel for a high end, a top five pick this year and a first next year, I would do that 100 out of 100 times right now.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So if you're in the other camp, you believe Debo's going to repeat this and go put up a top five finish. I mean, this was a player that had a better fantasy year than Justin Jefferson, who is untouchable in dynasty leagues.
Right.
So if you have that conviction about Deebo, here's your path. Paint the narrative.
The wide receiver two this past season.
All right, we got a deal done. So now you have Deebo and Cam Akers. Congratulations.
I do.
And I have just a ton of picks.
I must have had two picks next year.
You had so many. All right, let's do a little mailbag.
Mailbag.
Mailbag, ooh, dynasty style. can you order fries that way?
Oh, yeah.
Dynasty style?
Yeah.
What comes on it? Is it like a...
Oh, I thought you were referring to my voice.
Some ranch?
I'd like some fries!
Yeah, like when I pull up to the Wendy's and they're like, can I take your order? I'm like, yeah, you know it! Woo! They're like, what, sir, is you biggie size? Oh, of course!
Put some cheese on it!
Some chicken tenders? All right.
Am I Sam Howell?
here we go. Twitter question from Andy Rue. First year of our Dynasty League wrapped up.
All right.
This year, we're going to implement Fab.
Nice.
But we have been in constant argument about how Fab should be handled during the off season. Mm.
You've come to the right place, Andy Rue.
Any light that you guys can shine on this situation of ours?
We could tell you very easily what we do. We have a $100 Fab system. We do not allow Fab trading in our league. It's been voted on a couple times, and I think pretty split. But we have an in-season budget and an out-of-season budget. So basically, when the ball kicks
also known
off,
as the off-season.
Sure, either yeah, tomato tomato. When the ball's kicked off from the tee, every team gets 100 clean, not mm-hmm. not 100 in
fresh,
addition
a fresh
to what you had
bankroll.
But yes. Yeah, everyone starts with 100.
It's a rebuy,
and then at the end of the season,
at the end of the Super Bowl,
right at the end of the Super Bowl, we give another fresh 100 to everyone. That lasts through all off-season pickups. After the rookie draft, there's always a huge free agent push, and all those do not come out of what you're going to use in your season.
I just spent 61 off-season fab on Raheem Mostert, who was sitting on the waiver sure. wire.
Pre-Sony Michelle.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. That doesn't bother me one little bitsky.
Really?
Not even
you
a little.
You think Mostert has the same season with Sony Michelle on the roster as without
yeah,
him?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that as mattering.
Mm, that's
so what, it was a little one-year deal, a little 1.75. That's not a lot of money.
What did Raheem get?
How much did he get?
I don't know.
Five?
3.12.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you talk about the system. Those are two different speeds of
yes.
players. So if Raheem is who he is, then Sony's a depth piece there. okay, question from Twitter. Mike says, if I were to start a new Dynasty League, when should the first draft be? Right before the season starts, question mark?
I mean, if it's your very first Dynasty League, at least wait until the NFL draft has taken place. If you're a wily veteran in the space and you want to take the gamble of a Dynasty startup before rookies have settled with your information, that's fine. But for new people, do it after the NFL draft has happened. And I would recommend as soon as you can after the NFL draft. Yes, there will likely be some pretty seismic player value changes between the end of May and up till the kickoff of the season. But that I think that's part of the fun. And that gives you, you know, some chance to get acquainted with your roster, start maybe feeling around for some trades, getting a true buzz off of, you know, when one of your players gets a hype piece out of training camp and you could see their, oh, this player's value has just gone up. Do I want to try and trade them on that momentum or do something do something else.
Lets you make some waiver pickups from the undrafted.
Yes,
the Philip Lindsay that comes out of nowhere that helped Andy get a championship years back.
So is that the official that theme song of my title?
Yeah.
In your head? All right, Andy Bolin on Instagram says, what age do you steer away from running backs in a dynasty league? We do have an article on the website by Marvin Eloquin, who said it's titled "The Life Cycle of a Dynasty Running Back." 28 is generally the cliff.
It's moved based on, you know, the last couple of generations. It used to be 31, 30, 28. Now I would say that the peak for running backs is generally about 24 years old. So it's super early. But this is less about age to me. It's more about contract. You know, if a player like Joe Mixon signs a big second contract with a young team, I'm not moving away from him yet. But in a dynasty league, when they are about halfway through that second contract, if they are like 26 years old, that's when I try to move on. Not because, oh my gosh, they're just going to be trash next year, but because they might be good. They still hold value. If mm-hmm. I can trade away a 26-year-old proven commodity for usually a young, good-looking running back, you know, they're super handsome.
Of course.
You know, and a future pick, that's proven pretty well. That's worked very well for Andy and I over the last several years, that strategy.
Like Zeke?
Right.
Who's 26?
Right. I traded him for Mark Andrews in a first.
Yeah, you did.
It's so funny how values change, because it really seemed like I very much lost that trade.
It can
last year. Through the first 4 weeks, you were a big loser.
And it's still possible for that to change again.
It is if I draft poorly with your first next year.
Yeah, if you draft poorly, or if Zeke bounces back to a stronger finish, who was what, the RB6 last year still?
He was solid until he had the injury.
The sentiment versus the production was tremendous, and that can impact almost everything that you think about a trade. Last offseason, you didn't like that trade.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing had happened on the field at all, but you felt dumb.
I'm a pessimistic fella sometimes.
Instagram question, dynasty question, Terry McLaurin or Amari Cooper? McLaurin obviously attached to Carson Wentz, 26.7 years old. You don't think of these two in the same breath age-wise, and yet they are. Amari Cooper,
right.
27, Terry McLaurin, 26. Amari Cooper has 3 years left on a contract attached to Deshaun Watson. Terry McLaurin could have a new home next year.
Man, I do not like this question. Amari Cooper last year, disappointing. What was Amari Cooper 2 years ago? Do you have those numbers in front of you?
From a fantasy finish?
Yes.
Yeah, I can give you that.
Thank you.
While you're looking that up, I could tell you the contract.
16.
Okay. Yeah, so he was a solid player.
Right.
The contract situation, $20 million dead cap this year, $15 million dead cap next year, $11 million dead cap the year after that.
How many seasons, by the way? Amari Cooper's been in the league 7 of them. How many wide receiver 1 finishes does he have?
Oh, my goodness.
One or none? What is it?
You may choose one answer.
Okay, I will choose one.
Mike, do you have a guess?
I think one.
One, yes. He was wide receiver 9, second year in Dallas. But otherwise...
But how many years has he had an incredible half of it?
Probably of them.
He is very good
at
that.
He has been at 100 target guy every year. Well, 1 year was 96. But, I mean... You got to draw a line in the sand with Amari Cooper in a dynasty league, and they went after him in Cleveland, and there's nobody else there.
Yes, that's. I don't like this question because Cooper is set up for such success this year in Cleveland, and he was also set up for success last year in Dallas. I know CeeDee Lamb is there to be the next big thing, but CeeDee Lamb was like 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns. There's still plenty of room there for Amari Cooper to come through and have himself a big season, and he did not. Where so the perception?
I'll take McLaurin.
Okay,
really?
The perception to me, and I could be wrong, but this is how I feel about these players: is Amari Cooper, even though these guys are about the same age, Amari Cooper is tailing off, and Terry McLaurin still has an unrealized ceiling, and that could be completely wrong.
Are you? Before you speak on this, Jason, I want to throw another name out there so you can talk about all three.
Sure.
DJ Moore.
Right, yeah.
Or Amari Cooper, because
that would be,
it's the same situation with the kind of like untapped ceiling versus situation.
Yeah, DJ Moore and Terry McLaurin are very similar in that respect. So much talent, bad quarterback play, and you wonder what's going on, but DJ Moore is so young. He's very similar to Amari Cooper when he came in the league, very, very young. You're talking about Amari Cooper. He's had 5 years. I know we said he's only been a wide receiver 1 once, but he's been a wide receiver 2. Terry McLaurin literally has only been a wide receiver 2 once, a wide receiver 1 never. They're about the same age. Amari's tied to a better quarterback. It's an easy Amari Cooper for me.
Is that Amari Cooper over DJ Moore then?
No, DJ Moore, Amari Cooper and Terry McLaurin are both 26. I believe DJ Moore is still 12 years old.
DJ Moore is 25.
DJ Moore
is
just...
DJ Moore is also...
Wait, he did it? He hit 25?
He's 25 and he's never had a fantasy finish above 18. Ever.
He just had his birthday. So, yeah, I still would lean DJ Moore there. The talent and the extra like year and a half.
Yeah, you taking McLaurin and DJ Moore, Mike? Then Moore.
I would take DJ Moore of those three, and I would take. I think I'd still take Terry over Amari Cooper.
I think I understand what you're saying. His Amari Cooper is an example of like the running back that is like Zeke. I mean, Zeke is 26. And yet it has like a football age that's a little bit different. And Amari Cooper's football age was one in which the Dallas Cowboys were willing to give him away for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a decision made there, almost like Julio Jones, where Atlanta said, well, it's over. And then that possibility exists. Like, yeah. Amari Cooper being an 800-yard season wide receiver for a couple of years does exist.
Yeah, I think the real crux of this is, Mike, you said, you know, Amari Cooper's arrow is kind of pointing down. Terry McLaurin's could still be pointing up. Yes. If you're going to say who has a top six season, it's probably not Amari Cooper, it's Terry McLaurin. But the truth is, it's neither. The truth is, right. These guys are wide receiver twos. That's what's happening, and so I feel like it's more likely that Amari Cooper has.
Now, what if I don't want to have Amari Cooper on my team? Which guy do I pick?
Terry McLaurin. Okay. There you go.
All right, that makes it easy.
Yeah, it's actually real easy then.
All right, I think we're going to wrap it up. One more quick reminder: BallersLive.com. If you want to go to the show in Detroit, or Los Angeles, or our Phoenix show in September,
I recommend running to the computer. Like right now, just like don't. Walk.
I will say that I know of at least one incredible person that is coming to all three, despite the fact that they are not actually near each other.
No. Then they win. They win the prize.
And this is not a person who is traveling with us?
No.
Correct.
Yes. I am also going to all three.
Yeah.
Really?
Were you not aware of this?
No, I didn't. I did not know of Superfan.
Yes. We are very fortunate. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Is this fortunate or is this restraining order stuff?
No. This is all beautiful stuff. but I think we're going to do some special stuff at these live events too.
Right.
Spend some time doing some AMA stuff afterwards, have a little discussion with everyone there as well as the live show. So it'll be a lot of fun. That's ballerslive.com. Otherwise, I'm drawing the line right here. This is the end of the show.
We found it.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, supporting the show. Make sure you follow, subscribe. We love you.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.